resolution of this problem was exactly the opposite of the one of Hillel. Hillel was tolerant and allowed all of this romantic love and so on, and validated the second marriage.
Even though it wasn't written in the
clause. And even though it wasn't written in the clause, and invalidated an existing first kedushin. Here, they just disallowed this guy running off with the bride. Okay. So Ravashi says you don't need any story. But the Chachamim are empowered to annul a marriage.
That's providing she didn't have kedushin yet.
What do you mean?
That she sat in the chair after.
If she sat in the chair after the kedushin, there's no problem. Let me repeat. Do you all understand the story? There's this wedding ceremony going on. And like in the movies, she runs off with another man.
Before the wedding or after the wedding?
So if it was after the wedding, there's no problem. Because whatever this guy does after the wedding is certainly invalid. He can't be Makadish somebody else's wife. Right. But Ravashi says even if it was before the wedding, and she ran off, and he gave her kedushin,
so she should be married to
the second man, that second marriage is annulled.
That's the key.
That second marriage is annulled. Okay. So the Gemara says,
was there any problem with the original kedushin?
What original? There was no...
I mean, she was a ketana.
Forget about she was a ketana. Let's eliminate all of that together. That's irrelevant here. The woman was engaged. She was sitting on the
chair.
Somebody else ran into the wedding hall, swept her off her feet, and went down to the local justice of the peace and married her.
Right.
Okay.
Under no circumstances were they allowed to be valid.
That's right. They're going to... So this is the exact opposite. Hillel HaZaken was a tolerant man and was willing to abide by to the extent of invalidating the arranged marriage. Here, Rav Vashi says that the Talmidim of Rav do not tolerate romantic marriage with a guy sweeping her off her feet. There was an arranged marriage here. This guy is acting as a scoundrel, acting improperly, sweeping this girl off her feet and marrying her against the will of her mother. Therefore, they're annulling that marriage.
Here it's Narishkeit.
Okay. Who asal shaloka hogan? Lefichach asu bo shaloka hogan ve'afkinon rabbanon lekedushin minute. Amar le rabino le ravashi tinich the kaidish bekaspo. That's okay if the man was makadesh with money, okay? Because there's the principle of hefker beit din hefker. The chachamim can annul the marriage through the technical device of declaring that this money never belonged to him. Since there's a principle of hefker beit din hefker, Rabbruna and Rabbi Hananel can declare with their powers of the court over money to say that the whatever object he gave her, a cup or a ring, they didn't use a ring in those days, they used to use a cup or something else. The cup that he gave her and said, Harei at mekudeshet li bekos zeh, that kos never belonged to him, and therefore the marriage is invalid. But what if he ran off with her to a motel and posted two of his buddies outside the door and was makadesh bevia? Right? Tinech the kadesh bekas, but bevia may buy. So the Gemara says, Shavi rabbanon levi latobi latznu. They declared his consummation of the marriage to be a just plain fornication, no validity. Okay?
So therefore, no marriage.
Right. Let's take a look at Tosfot. Leficha chasulo sheloka hogen v'yapkinu rabbanon kedushin minei. Mesapka levi. There's a question here. Eat. Okay, leficha. The next, the last verse is on the page. Mesapka levi. Eat time adafkeinu mishum dekol makadesh adatay toed rabbanon makadesh. Is the reason that the chachamim are empowered to revoke, to annul. This is a case of annulment. So the reason that the Chazal are empowered to annul the Kiddushin is because everybody makes Kiddushin with this Tanai Adatei Rabbanan Mekadesh. O Bishum Deyesh Koach B'yad Chachamim Le'ekor Davar Min HaTorah. Or is it because that the Chazal indeed have this power to legislate contrary to the Torah? Midelo Hizkir Kan K'mo Yishkir B'chol Mekom Kol Mekadesh Adatei Rabbanan Mekadesh. I mean, the Gemara here doesn't mention Kol Mekadesh Adatei Rabbanan Mekadesh, because obviously the second man ran off with this woman to the motel. That was certainly not Adatei Rabbanan, whatever it was. Therefore, presumably, it wasn't an explicit clause in his mind. It would be a far-fetched stretching of belief to say that his intention was to follow all the opinions of the Chachamim, and therefore it was implicit in his Tanai. Therefore, the power of Chazal must stem from some other broader power, which may be that they have the power to legislate. Yes?
I'm unclear as to what Hillel HaZaken actually did. In this case, in Iraq, they took a regular position in their knowledge.
Right.
So he did his right, so he said his right.
Right.
In Hillel HaZaken's present, when he was darshaning, according to what Tosfos says to him, first of all, how does Tosfos understand when he says, show me the ksuba? He's saying he didn't lob after showing
the ksuba. No, he says, show me one ksuba. And on the basis of that one ksuba, he was able to annul all the marriages.
Okay, now, is that, are you drawing a parallel between whatever the motivation, between the effect of what he was doing, that he was taking what was valid and by some maneuver or legal fiction, so to speak?
Yeah, I'm drawing an analogy. But in the first case, we can take the legal fiction and say that he was reading this as an implied clause. Now the question that Tosfos is asking, is there an implied clause here? In the case of Hillel, well, he was saying there was an implied clause, okay? Now remember, presumably in those cases, the first husband wasn't sitting down taking it mildly, right? So when you say that there was an implied clause, it was even though the first husband was screaming against the guy that ran off with the wife, give me my wife back, right? Nevertheless, Hillel decided that there was an implied clause. Here, the Tosfos is asking, what is the power of Chazal to legislate away this romantic marriage? Is it because of an implied clause? Well, what is the implied clause? The only implied clause is a much broader clause than Hillel. Hillel was saying that this whole community used to arrange things that the Kedushin wouldn't really take place until the Nisuin. But here, in Narash, there is no such rule. There's no explicit clause to this effect. Therefore, it's either a much broader implied clause, namely, that when a man is Makadesh, he agrees to abide by all of the legislation of the Chachamim, called the Makadesh Adate Dohan Makadesh, or, since that may be a little difficult to believe in this case, where the man is running off with the girl against the wishes of everybody, including the caterer and the rabbi and everybody else, then this may stem from an even broader power that Chazal have, la'akor davar min ha-Torah, that they can legislate even against the Torah. And Tosfos leaves this open. Okay? But in any event, this is a case of an annulment of a marriage. A second place where we have a case of an annulment of the marriage is in the Gemara in Bava Basra, Gemara page 6. Amar Amema, Amar Amema, about 7 lines down from the top. Fluyava Kaddish, Kiddushav Kiddushin. I don't know whether it's Fluya or Tluhu. There's a big question about the actual text here on this Gemara. But the simplest interpretation is to take it as the Rambam does of saying Tluhu V'Kaddish. That means it was a shotgun wedding. The guy got the girl pregnant, the father came with a shotgun and said, you marry my daughter or else. Okay? Is that marriage valid or not? Okay? So the Gemara says it's a valid wedding. Shotgun marriages are okay. Or even though he was coerced into marrying the girl, nevertheless, the marriage is valid.
I have to say it.
He said, Arayat Makadeshatli, with a gun pointing at his head.
We learned it before that if someone does that on a field, he puts a gun to a person's head, signed over the deed to me.
Yeah.
The deed is...
It's valid. Here also it's valid. Okay. But in the case of the field, we understand what the reasons are, because you want to protect the market.
Because
of takana sashuk. Otherwise, you can't have a free market. Shotgun weddings aren't exactly the same situation as a free market, but there may be a community interest also in preserving shotgun weddings.
Manny was saying,
Mr. Fried was saying,
such a thing as a forced contract?
Yeah, sure.
You can always say it's a mechanism.
That says at the very bottom of this page, Tlou Vizavin Zvine Zvina.
No way. Once you.
We learned this many times. Chazal have decided that in the issue of contracts, it's very difficult to sustain a case of coercion. If you signed the contract is valid. Right? Because they want to have otherwise you disrupt the market. Right? If you're going to be able to bring there obviously will be exceptional situations, but broadly speaking, coercion is a difficult claim to sustain in the case of a contract. Because otherwise anyone can say that I really didn't mean to sell this guy my car. I had a headache that day, there always is some form of coercion. But here we're talking about marriages. So the Gemara says that a shotgun marriage is also valid, okay? But the Gemara says that's only if the gun is pointed at the groom. If the man is coerced into a marriage, then the marriage is valid. In fact, what the halacha here is a matter of dispute amongst the poskim. But everyone agrees, Ma barabashi amar b'isha vadai kedushin lohav. The reverse, where the man coerces the woman into marriage. She said she accepts the kedusha. That's right. But you say in the man, if the gun is pointed at him, no matter what, the kedusha is still valid. But if the gun is pointed at the woman, right, the guy pulled out his pistol and say, accept this kedusha or else, then that kedusha is not valid.
Almost like rape, actually.
Right. So the Gemara is saying that there's a difference between the treatment of men and women as far as this particular rule is concerned. If a shotgun marriage, when a father is holding the gun against the boy and saying, marry my daughter or else, the marriage is valid. But in the case of where the man coerces the woman into marriage, the marriage is invalid. Okay?
So
what's good for the goose should be good for the gander. What right do the Chachamim have to distinguish between the two cases?
They
the Gemara says,
Ma
baravashi amar v'isha v'adai kidushin lo havi, hu asa shelo kahilgen. This man acted improperly by coercing this woman into marriage. L'fichach asu imo shelo kahilgen, ve'af ki'inun rabbanon l'kidushin mene. Amar le'rabino lo avashi, Tinach the Kaddish beKaspa, Kaddish beVia Ma'ikol Meimal. Amar leShavi Rabbanan leBilato beLatznu. Same Gemara that we had here, but this is a slightly different case. And Tosus again points out Tanya the Kaddish beKaspa. Hacha loka Amar Kol Mekadesh Datay the Rabbanan Mekadesh, etc. And they discuss this. Now let's take a look. So both of these cases are issues, like in the case of Hillel, of annulment of a marriage. This marriage is null and void. Either the first marriage in Alexandria, or the second marriage in Narash, or the shotgun wedding where the woman is coerced into a marriage in Iman Bahabasa. Now let's take a look in cases that we mentioned earlier, where in fact there was a marriage. Okay? Now let's go on Gittin. Okay? My page 7.
Yeah? There's a difference in the case where the husband is coerced under shotgun to marry the girl. It's the parent of the girl who's forcing him. But it's impossible to do the reverse. I mean, the woman is not being forced by her suitor.
I mean, she may be forced by her mother. Oh, doesn't matter.
Isn't any difference?
But she's saying she's being forced by the suitor. Right. He's holding a gun against the woman.
But he isn't being forced by her, by his fiancé. He's being forced by...
Well, his fiancé doesn't know how to shoot.
He wants her...
It's the father usually who protects the daughter.
There's no difference than who's doing the forcing.
Doesn't matter, right. Okay.
Because it implies, like I said before, it implies like rape, but he's doing the forcing, whereas the parent is forcing it, there's no...
Well, so let's forget, I was giving it as a typical American story. But suppose the woman held up the gun against him. Still... Right?
Can serve.
If the woman was held a shotgun against the husband and against the man and said, give me the kedushin or else, it's valid. But if he holds it against her, it's invalid. All right. Now, but in all three of these cases, the marriage was annulled. The decision of the Chachamim, for whatever reason and whatever power they had, the marriage simply never took place. Now let's take a look at the three remaining cases, all right? The first is this Gemara in Gittin. The Mishnah in Gittin that I didn't Xerox for you says that if a man tries to be mevatel a get, after the shliach is already set out, the get, this bitul is not valid, and the get remains valid. But the Gemara says, the Mishnah says, "Mepnei tikkun olam." My mepnei tikkun olam. Rabbi Yochanan am mepnei takanat mamzerim. If this woman should, in the interval, remarry and have children, if the get was not valid, these children from the second marriage will be mamzerim, and it's no fault of hers because she was given a get. She did not know that the husband had already canceled the get.
And the chachamim made it.
And the chachamim don't want mamzerim in the world, especially from innocent. So therefore, they sustained the original divorce. Sabala Rav Nachman of Rish Lakish Amar Mepnei Takanat Agunot. This woman will never know whether or not she's been divorced, because every time she, even if a woman has received a get, she's always going to be remaining in a state of doubt. Did he not cancel? How is it possible that according to strict law, this get is invalid, and nevertheless, because of a Tanai Beit Din, they're allowing this woman to remarry? So the Gemara says, in, yes. Kol de Mekadesh adate de Rabbanon Mekadesh, v'af ke'inun Rabbanon l'kidushin meneh. Here the Gemara uses the phrase of Kol de Mekadesh adate de Rabbanon Mekadesh, whatever that means.
That's annulment.
Right. This is not an annulment of the original marriage, it's a termination of the marriage.
He that giveth can take it.
Rashi says, Liyot kidushin talin kidat Moshe v'Yisrael, shehen higu chachme Yisrael. V'harei heim amru she'yafkiu kol kidushin she'v Yisrael al yedei get kazeh hilkach pak'ik she'al menat kein kidshah. So, this certainly leans towards what the Nitziv was saying, that this is not an annulment retroactively of the original marriage, but when the husband says, harei at mekudeshet li kedat Moshe v'Yisrael, included in that phrase is the possibility of the termination of the marriage under these circumstances. Okay? The second place, we'll skip the Gemara on Yivamot because we're running late. A third place is the Gemara of Ein Tanat Ones B'Gitin. So on Gemara Ketubot, my page 9, Ketubot Daf Gimel, Umi Ika Midi, the Gemara says, the Midiraita lo havi get. How is it possible that midiraita, this is not a valid get, and nevertheless you set this woman free? So the Gemara says, in kolam kadesh adateto rabbanon mekadesh va'af ki'inu rabbanon lekidushin mene. Amar le rabino le ravashi tinoch tekadesh bekaspo kadesh bebiya ma'ika lameima. So the Gemara says, shevi rabbanon levilat snut. That's it. Okay, and the third place where we have this rule is a shchivmara, again, where the issue is of shchivmara shenitak b'choli, b'choli, etc., etc. What happens if a shchivmara writes a get and then becomes healthy? He issued this get, after all, only on the presumption that he was going to die. And now it turns out that he's recovered. Nevertheless, the Gemara says the get is valid. It should not be valid. And the same thing, Mi'ika midi midiraita lo havi gita umishum gzera sharina neshetit shli alma. So the Gemara says, in kolu makadesh adate du rabbanan makadesh v'yafkinu rabbanan l'kidushin v'nei. Omelei rabbinu lo ravashi tinach tekadesh bekaspo kiddush b'biyam ha'ikil l'nei. Omelei shavi rabbanan l'vidat. Those are the three additional cases, we've had six cases in all, Hillel HaZaken, the two cases of the annulment of the marriage at the beginning, and the three cases of the validation of a get, which we should expect not to be valid, on the principle of Afke'ino Norban on the Kedusha. Okay? And the question is before us, what power do Chazal, or the Rabbonim, or the local courts, or the Rabbi of the Young Israel, what power do these people have to revoke a marriage, and to what extent was this power actually utilized in communities throughout the ages? In the Yerushalmi, we find also a clause in Gittin. There's an article on it by Gulak. I'm not going to have time to go through it tonight, but let me just, on the first page in Gulak's article, he cites the Yerushalmi's Kedushin. From Abu Abishem Rabbi Yochanan, Seder ha-simpon kachu. A simpon is an auxiliary clause in any contract. In this particular case, a clause in the Kedushin. Ano plan bar plan, mekadesh lach ant plonit bar plan, al menat liten lach bikamat plan. I, so-and-so, I'm a kadesh you, so-and-so, on condition to give you such-and-such, by such-and-such a date, umachnisek liyom plan, ve'in ata yom plan velo kenastich lo yeheli klum. And if the day comes and we have not fulfilled the marriage, it should be invalidated retroactively. So here's an explicit clause of the type that Hillel was trying to establish as an implicit clause in in Alexandria. Okay. Rashi says that Kal HaMekadesh HaDatei D'Rabbanan Mekadesh is because of this language of Kedat Moshe Yisrael. We have to try to understand what the origin and perhaps the meaning of that language is. We find, for instance, I didn't Xerox that. Too bad. Well, there is a book on Greek marriages in Egypt, for example, where the phrase is used of toi Egypton nomos, according to Egyptian law. In other words, members of the Greek community who wanted to clarify what the legal status of their marriage was, as a declare that they were going to be married according to the Egyptian rules rather than according to the Roman rules, according to the Greek rules. Apparently, each community, when you had these big cities with a Greek community and a Egyptian community and a Jewish community, and a couple went to get married, they had to specify according to which law are they abiding. So, for instance, I guess I just forgot to put that page in, but here is an interesting example where two Jews got married according to Greek law. In Yadin's book on Bab Kochba, here is a picture of a scroll that he found, which he then unraveled. And it says, in this document, Yehuda, son of Eleazar, alias Ktusion, gave into marriage his own daughter Shalom Tzion, virgin, to Yehuda, nicknamed Kimber, son of Hananiah, both from the village of En Gedi in Judea, dwelling here, right? But it was according to Hellenic law. So here are two Jews who got married specifically, and the Ksuba says not according to Dat Moshe Yisrael, but according to the laws of the state of New York. So we can see that the idea of writing Kedat Moshe Yisrael is not just some religious addendum in the Hare'at, but had a meaning at a specific time. Namely, people who were living in mixed communities had to specify in their marriage contract according to which rules are they abiding, right? And so therefore, Kedat Moshe Yisrael meant, in contrast of according to Hellenic law, according to Egyptian law, according to Roman law.
That's amazing.
Okay.
No.
What? No?
Yeah.
Well, you don't find Reform Jews in New York who get married according to the laws of the state of New York and have nothing to do with the...
And we consider them as Asian Jews too.
Whether we do it or not is a complicated question that we'll get to in about 3 weeks. But all that I'm saying is, all that I'm saying is that the notion of Kedat Moshevi Israel was not something specific to the Jewish community. That is, each community would specify in their marriage contract what the rules of the game were. And the rules are different, right? And according to certain aspects of Hellenic law, especially if the father gave the girl to the husband, the father still retained the right to divorce. If you didn't like your son-in-law after a few years, you could terminate them.
Even though she says, I still love him, it doesn't matter.
Right. So you see, different communities had different rules, so it was pretty important that you write down in the marriage contract which rules you're following, and that was the original meaning of the phrase, Kedat Moshe Yisrael. That I'm getting married according to Jewish law, not according to this crazy law of the Greeks. Okay. So it had that meaning, and therefore it's difficult to read into it the meaning that Rashi intends, namely that he intended, when he adds this phrase of Kedat Moshe v'Yisrael, some subservience on his part to whatever Rabbi Twersky should decide in the future of what should be with my marriage. It didn't have that intention. It just simply meant that I'm getting married according to Jewish law and not according to the laws of the Catholic Church, for example. All right. Now, for the next couple of weeks, we will follow Freiman's book, which I've Xeroxed the first few pages to you from.
What is the end of these 3 pages?
Well, do you have 3 pages in English?
Yeah.
Oh, good. Oh, I missed that. Final. Good. I thought I had forgotten to Xerox it. There. If you look on page... on page 15. Right? This is a book called Written and Unwritten Marriages
Egypt.
In Egyptian or something or other. I've forgotten the name. By a man by the name of Wolff. W-O-L-F-F. It was published in 1939. Okay? But you see, on the left-hand side, you see it says, Ton Egypto Nomos. That means, according to the Egyptian law. That was written into the...
marriage contract.
Into the marriage contract. Okay. The second one was from Feldman's book on Jewish law, and he cites a number of cases. Written and Unwritten Marriages in Hellenistic and Post-Classical Roman Law. That's the full name of the book by Wolff.
In the modern Hebrew Jewish marriages, we also have the civil marriages in it. That's according to the laws of the state, no?
Where? Where do you have civil marriages?
You have a license.
Does he have a license?
Where?
Here, in this country. You have to have two.
Yeah, so what does that have to do with anything?
You have to get married according to the laws of the state.
Yeah, you're unfortunately married according to both the laws of the state of Massachusetts and Jewish law. But the question is, what role does the laws of the state of Massachusetts play as far as the halacha is concerned? Okay. He also cites from Epstein an argument in the book of Tobit. We find ton nomon moseus, right? According to the laws of Kedat Moshe, and that's found already in the book of Tobit, which was believed to be written in the 3rd century B.C. Okay?
That's the first time it's mentioned?
It's the first time that we have. If I remember, next time... there's been a lot of work been done on the Ketubot in the Egyptian Gemiza in the last 10 or 20 years. And they show that this formulation occurs in the Ketubot. If I have a chance, I'll Xerox some samples of those. They're very hard to read. So. What? Tobit, yes. But
where do you see that?
It's in this footnote of Feldman's. Right?
Yeah.
Yes, right there. So it says, kata to nomon mos museus, according to the laws of Moshe. Okay, I guess my time is almost up.
How does finding books stand up last for the years?
I think it's a terrific piece of work. Yeah, we've learned a lot. The main information that we have since Freiman's book was, first of all, the events that have occurred in the last 50 years, which is, of course, the history of what the Rabbanut has been doing in Israel. And the second thing is the study of the Geniza documents, which he did not have at his disposal. And this changes some things, but it doesn't change much. So I think that his book holds up very well, and we will spend the next few weeks actually studying it. So please remember to bring Freiman, that is the rest of the stuff, with you for next time, which will...
Okay.
So you know it all, so you don't have to come.